الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن نبينا وحبيبنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن عظم الجزاء مع عظم البلاء صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers, elders and friends, as humans, as mortals, naturally at times we become emotionally overwhelmed. Our hearts become shattered due to severe grief, intense sorrow, to the extent that some even become a victim of anxiety or depression. What we all need to remember, that whatever conditions come upon you and I, whether locally, globally, it is nothing but the cycle of life, the system of this world, through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala checks the level of our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala examines the sincerity of our faith. That will we remain steadfast or will we lose courage and hope? The opening verse that I've recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses humanity at large stating, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ O man, do you think it is sufficient just to proclaim your iman, announce your faith to the world, yet you have not been tested by your creator subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly, explicitly states in this verse, we will test you in this world, whether it's through loss of wealth or loss of lives, whether it's through fear or hunger and starvation. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Allah Rabbul Izzah then commands you and I to go and give glad tidings to all those who exercise patience. All those who endure the difficult conditions with tolerance, those who remain steadfast upon iman, they don't give up because of the difficult conditions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further elaborates, who are such people? أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ Such men whenever afflicted by any type of difficulty or hardship, what is their immediate reaction? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ That we belong entirely to Allah and we shall return to Allah alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further states, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ Such men have indeed earned the special divine mercy of their Creator. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ And they are the men of guidance and righteousness. خَبَّاب بن أَرَتْ رضي الله عنه A very great eminent Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam states, he says, we the muhajirin of Makkah Mukarrama, during the early days of Islam, we were extremely weak and feeble. We would be brutally tortured, persecuted on the hands of the disbelievers. We could not bear the torture, persecution any longer. We waited for an opportunity to present our condition, put forward our complaint to the paragon of Allah's creation. One day we see him taking rest in the Holy Kaaba. He's taking rest in the shade of the Holy Kaaba. His face was placed on a pillow. And we thought to ourselves, This is an ideal opportunity to put forward our complaint to him. Immediately we rush to the haram. We sit around him. Nabi alayhi salam's face was, his head was on his pillow. And then with a cry in our voice, we put forward our complaint. Ya Rasulullah, you're well aware of the persecution, the torture. We cannot bear the persecution any longer. Has the time not come for you to raise your hands and beg and beseech Allah to bless us with His supreme divine mercy? Has the time not come for you to raise your hands and draw the special unseen help of your Creator? Khabbab bin Arat radiallahu anh says, as soon as we put forward this complaint, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam's face changed color. He immediately got up from his position. He began to narrate to us incidents of the past, whereby he tried to pacify and console us. People of the past had to undergo more difficult conditions. A person would be taken, and a pit would be dug in the ground. He would be thrown therein, and then he would be sawed into half by Allah that did not shake them from their iman. You are being too hasty for the mercy of Allah. What does Allah Rabbul Izzah say in the Quran? وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Allah Rabbul Izzah gives us the formula to earn His special mercy and help. And that is by engaging in salah, by exercising patience. This is how a person will earn the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith I have recited at the beginning, hadith appears in Sunan At-Tirmidhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very clearly, explicitly explains the divine system Allah has put in place. إِنَّ عِظَمَ الْجَزَاءَ مَعَ عِظَمِ الْبَلَاءِ. The greater your test in this world, the greater your reward in the year after. The higher your ranks in Jannah, the closer you are to your Creator. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا حَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. Nabi alayhi salam then says, when Allah loves a certain person, Allah will put him through some difficult condition. According to one narration, he explains the reason for this. When a person has a very special place in the eyes of Allah, and Allah loves a certain person, Allah will put him through some hardship. Why is this so? إِذَا سَبَقَتْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَنْزِلَةً. When a person, Allah has destined for him a very high, lofty position in Jannah, and Allah wants him to reach that high, lofty position in Jannah. But this person's actions are incomplete. His actions are not noble and righteous, and therefore he is unable to reach that high, lofty abode in Jannah. So Allah puts him through some difficult condition in this world. And then Allah Rabbul Izzah blesses him with the best quality, and that is patience. And as he exercises patience, he rises and he ascends. He goes higher and higher, until he then reaches that high, lofty position in Jannah. Therefore, any person in pain, in distress, in agony, he who cannot sleep during the dark hours of the night, he who cannot hold back his tears, who does not find any peace at home, who feels the entire world has become very tight and narrow upon him, as if there is no future that awaits him, he has only one thought bothering his mind all the time, like Allah Rabbul Izzah describes the mother, describes the condition of the mother of Musa alayhi salam, when she saw her little innocent child put in the hands of the tyrant, oppressive king Fir'aun. Allah says, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. At that time there was no other thought in her mind other than worry, what is going to happen to my child? That one thought occupied her entire mind. That person who feels that is only misery in this world, there's no good left in this world, he should never feel that he is despised or abhorred by his Creator. إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا حَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. When Allah loves a certain nation, Allah will put them through some difficult condition. And this is a means of their sins being expiated. Their rewards are increased. Their status and their position is going higher and higher in Jannah. It's a means of a person coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if we have to look at the life of Imam al-Muttaqeen, Sayyid al-Mursaleen, the leader of humanity, the leader of all prophets, Nabiyuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he not have to encounter and experience in this world of difficulty, hardship? Therefore, ulama have written, any person going through any difficult condition should comfort and console himself by studying the Mubarak Sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And surely there's an example for him either in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in the Mubarak Sahaba radiallahu anhum's lives. And then they go on to explain, that person who's in pain, that person who's in grief, in sorrow, perhaps he has lost his job, he's concerned, how am I going to live? How am I going to provide for my family? And a time may come where he is now financially constricted and he feels the pain of this condition that has come upon him. He should immediately go back to the Mubarak Sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does our mother Aisha radiallahu anha say? That at times he would cite the moon of the first month, the second month, the third month. Months would pass by consecutively. And by Allah's name, there was not a single pot of food cooked in the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who's in great grief and sorrow, perhaps he has lost a very close friend or relative of his, and he has this deep desire of at least having a vision of this person, whereby he will see him in a dream of his. He should remember Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, born in this world without a father. At the age of 6, he lost his beloved mother, Ummu Ayman Baraka radiallahu anha. Later in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she is reported to have said to the Sahaba that she can vividly remember that occasion in which Muhammad bin Abdullah lost his mother in the town called Abwa. And he had no father at that time, an orphan. And he was running behind the janazah of his mother. And he began to scream out to his mother in the janazah, "Oh mother, where are you going? You know I have no father. Why did you have to leave me?" Sahaba radiallahu anhum narrate, on one occasion after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with nubuwa, we were traveling between Makkah and Medina. We passed by the town called Abwa, in which the grave of his mother was situated. Nabi alayhi salam sought permission, excused himself. He went to the grave of his mother. فَبَكَى وَأَبْكَى مَنْ حَوْلَهُ Sahaba radiallahu anhum state that we have never seen him crying more like he cried on that occasion. Looking at him cry, we also began to cry. Look at the difficult conditions coming upon the leader of all prophets. At the age of 6, lost his mother. At the age of 8, he lost his grandfather. After being blessed with Nubuwa, he lost his beloved uncle, his beloved wife. Historians write that 6 of his children passed away in his lifetime. This is because when Allah loves a certain person, Allah will put him through some difficult condition. This is a means of his sins being erased. His status is becoming higher and higher. Allah elevates his status, raises his position in the akhirah. Therefore, any person going through any difficult condition, whether it's something minor or something major, something small or something big, Nabi alayhi salam is very clear that whatever condition comes upon you, even if it be that you are pricked by a thorn, that too is considered as a musibat upon a believer, through which Allah then wipes off his sins. According to one narration of Musnad Ahmad, even that few seconds of panic and excitement, and Nabi alayhi salam doesn't leave us, he doesn't just leave it ambiguous, he explains and he elaborates that a person puts his hand into one pocket to find some item that belongs to him, and then he can't find it, and he goes into an excitement, and he starts to panic, and then he puts his other hand in the other pocket, and he finds it. That few seconds of excitement, that too is considered as a musibat upon a believer. And then Nabi alayhi salam teaches us, whenever any difficulty comes upon you, what should be your reaction? You should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anticipate the reward of your difficulty. Ask Allah to convert that difficulty into a blessing, into a mercy. Ask Allah to reward you for the difficulty that you are going through. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha narrates, when my husband Abu Salama passed away, then I was extremely saddened to see my beloved husband leave this world. And Nabi alayhi salam taught me the dua, Allahumma jurni fi musibati. Allahumma jurni fi musibati. Oh Allah, reward me for this difficulty I'm experiencing. Wa akhlif li khayran min. Oh Allah, grant me something better in return. She says that thought crossed my mind. Who can be better than Abu Salama? He was an amazing person. He had remarkable, outstanding qualities. Surely no one can replace him. A short while thereafter, I received the proposal of the greatest of the creation of Allah, Nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To any person going through any difficult condition, firstly turn your attention to Allah. Ask Allah to bless you and to reward you for the difficulty you are going through. Remember, conditions will come and go. Conditions will never remain forever and ever. At some point, a person will have to leave whatever condition he's in, whether it's joy or sadness, and then he will have to leave this world. No person will take his grief and sorrow to the year after, unless he dies in a condition that he doesn't believe in Allah. Conditions will certainly come to an end. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, a great genius and giant of Islam, who was a true legend of this ummah, he authored the most famous commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari. Once he was traveling in a large group, together with him were his followers, his disciples, his students, his servants. And he was living, and Allah had blessed him with a lot of wealth. And as he was traveling with so much of honor, dignity, a very simple, poor, non-Muslim, standing at the corner of the road, he sees Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimullah walking, and behind him were all his servants, attendants. One request is made, and his request is fulfilled. And this non-Muslim standing at the corner of the road, struggling the entire day just to sell a few fruit or vegetables in order to provide a simple basic meal for himself and for his family. So this man, he waves in the direction of Ibn Hajar, tries to catch his attention. This Imam of Islam sees this, immediately advances towards him. Hal min haja? Can I be of any help or assistance? This man replies in the affirmative, please. So this Imam, Hafiz ibn Hajar, says, please go ahead. What can I do for you? This non-Muslim says, I have one question, and I would like you to answer my question. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah tells him, please go ahead. He says, I have a question regarding a narration that has been attributed to your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What is it? Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. This world is your prison. It's my paradise. He then tells Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, look at your condition and compare your life to my life. I'm living with misery, with grief, sorrow, struggling the entire day. You are living in the lap of comfort and luxury. How can this ever be your prison and my Jannah, my paradise? Ibn Hajar rahimahullah tells him that you have misunderstood the narration that is attributed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, what has been meant when I will enter the abode in the final year, in the final life, and I will see the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. I will then realize that this world, together with all its glitter and glamour, all the comforts and luxuries of this world, compared to my abode in Jannah, was nothing but like a prison. And Allah protect when you will enter the hot blazing fire of Jahannam, then you will realize that this world, together with all the difficult conditions, compared to your abode in Jahannam, it was nothing but like paradise. This person was astonished, hearing this amazing reply. Immediately he took or declared the shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. The point is that whatever conditions we are going through will certainly come to an end. Nabi alayhi salam states in one narration, a person who went through the most amount of difficulties in this world, he will be dipped in the gardens of Jannah. Then the question will be posed to him, Hal marra bika bu'sun qat? Did you ever have to encounter any difficulty in your entire life? And he will strongly negate, replying with firm emphasis, by Allah, I never had to experience any difficult condition. May Allah protect us. The other person who enjoyed the most luxurious life, who lived in the lap of comfort and luxury, when he will be dipped in the hot blazing fire of Jahannam, the similar question will be posed to him, Hal marra bika na'imun qat? Did you ever have any joy, any happiness in this world? And he will strongly reply, I never experienced any joy whatsoever. That is why Nabi alayhi salam states in one narration, on the day of Qiyamah, when the people who went through some difficult condition and those who never had to encounter any hardship in this world, when the rewards will be given to both groups, those who enjoyed a very comfortable, very happy, easy life, on the day of judgment, they will express their wish and desire. If only they had to be stabbed and poked and pierced in this world, looking at the great rewards given to the other group. That is why Nabi alayhi salam repeatedly reminds us to seek Allah's reward, to ask Allah to reward you for the difficulty that you are going through. Whether it's something small or something big, whether it's a financial condition, whether it's a social problem, whether it's a physical problem, ask Allah to reward you for the musibah that you are going through. The second most important advice, and that is, when a person is afflicted by any type of difficulty or hardship, then if we study the lives of our pious predecessors, we will understand that immediately they would take their minds, turn their attention towards the positives. They would turn their attention towards the bounties of Allah. They would look at the good side of life, and they would not focus on those negatives. Just as a means of example, many of us may have heard the story of Urwa bin Az-Zubayr rahimahullah, who was another great genius and giant of this ummah. Urwa bin Az-Zubayr rahimahullah was once invited by the Amir to pay him a visit, and the Amir lived a distance from Medina Munawwara. Urwa bin Az-Zubayr rahimahullah accepts the invitation. He takes his youngest son Muhammad and he makes him accompany him on this lengthy, tedious, challenging journey. Unlike today, when travels have become very easy, in those days the travels were extremely challenging. Nonetheless, Urwa bin Az-Zubayr rahimahullah undertakes this lengthy journey. And when he reaches his destination, he found difficulty walking with his right leg. So he went and consulted the doctors in the place where the Amir had lived. And all doctors unanimously agreed that this leg has to be amputated. If not, it could cause more harm to the rest of his body. So Urwa bin Az-Zubayr rahimahullah accepted the suggestion that was put forward before him. Prior to the procedure, they presented to him some alcoholic intoxicating drink so that he will not feel the excruciating pain of the amputation. But he strongly negated and he refused to accept this drink. And he said that carry out the operation whilst I'm busy in salah. When I'm performing salah, I forget everything around me. Like this, he started his salah, Allahu Akbar. The doctors had come forward and they got his leg amputated. And then boiling hot oil was put on the joint of his knee to prevent the bleeding. When this hot oil had come and touched his body, immediately he fell unconscious. After he regained his consciousness, the Amir on his side, people around him came to pay the condolences. Oh Urwa, we are very sad. You lost your leg. May Allah reward you. May Allah give you something better in return. Look at the immediate reaction of this person. He wakes up in a condition to see his right leg amputated. Historians write that we saw him raise his hand. Immediately he began to communicate with his creator. Allahumma innaka a'taytani arba'a. أَبْقَيْتَ لِي ثَلَاثًا وَأَخَذْتَ وَاحِدًا فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمِنَّةِ. Oh Allah, you blessed me with four limbs, two hands, two legs. Oh Allah, you chose to take away one, and you kept behind three. I praise and thank you for your great favor upon me. In the meantime, his youngest son Muhammad, who joined him in that journey of his, he was trying to get the horse prepared for the journey back home. The horse then attacked him, dropped him to the ground, began to trample upon him until he also left this world. Again the Amir comes to him to offer his condolences. Oh Urwa, we are very sad that one side you lost your leg, now you lost your little young son Muhammad. Look at the immediate response and reaction of this Imam. Again he raised his hands. Allahumma innaka a'taytani thamaniyan abqayta li sab'an wa akhadhta wahidan falaka alhamdu wal minnah. Oh Allah, you bless me with eight sons. You took away one and kept behind seven. Oh Allah, praise and thank you. Like this, he returns alone to his hometown, Medina Munawwara. As he's approaching the outskirts of Medina, people of Medina come out to welcome him. And they bring along with them a person who was blind. And then they requested Urwa to hear this person's story. Urwa says, by all means, go ahead. This man then tells Urwa, I lived in a certain town and I enjoyed the best food, the best clothes, and I had all comforts and luxuries. There was nothing short in my life until this town in which I lived was hit by a very severe storm, causing the town to flood. And this destructive flood claimed the lives of everyone in the town besides my little young innocent child and one camel of mine. He said, I went into an uncontrollable panic. I quickly picked up this child. I tried to pull this camel with me, trying to rescue my little child. And after I reached a point, I felt somewhat safe. I placed my child on the ground, and then I'm busy getting this camel prepared for the journey. And suddenly I hear a loud cry from behind. I turn around, I see a wolf about to attack my little child. I run in the direction of my child to rescue him. And as I get closer, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he had already been devoured and eaten up by this wolf. Then I go back to my animal, and I realize that I need to run away from here. As I approach closer, this animal kicks me in both my eyes, causing me to lose my vision and sight. I lost my vision, lost my family, lost all my wealth. Urwa bin Az-Zubayr rahimahullah tells him, what do you have to say after this experience? This man raises his hand and he says, Allahumma laka alhamdu wal minna, abqayta li qalban yadhkuruk, abqayta li qalban yashkuruk, wa lisanan yadhkuruk. Oh Allah, I praise and thank you for keeping my heart intact, for keeping my tongue intact. You could have taken every ni'mat of yours away. Let us ask ourselves, when we go through any type of difficulty, and someone has to ask us, how is things out there? What is our response? Carry on, that's life. As if our life is only filled with negatives. We forget the 99 positives, and we focus on that one negative. Whereas the pious Salaf, rahimahumullah, would focus on that one positive, and forget the 99 negatives. Allah forbid, it should not be such, that when we pay too much of attention to the negatives of life, Allah can convert all the positives into negatives. We ask Allah Rabbul Izzah to give us the tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.